Welcome to the Horns of Light Chronicles. Peter Berbalis chronicles his family story, prophecy, and testimony. God's story unfolds from his grandfather in Lithuania, Nazi Germany, the Russian Revolution, to Ronald Reagan and the fall of the Berlin Wall, the gospel spreading across to Eastern Europe, how God called Peter to Petra, Jordan, and so much more as prophecy and testimonies unfold. And now the Horns of Light Chronicles. Welcome to Horns of Light, and it is our prayer, it certainly is our prayer, that through today's episode, you know, kind of difficult things to hear, but by the same token, things we need to hear, because God wants to make sure that we know, you know, and we're prepared for the challenges of Satan and what he may lay in the way of the church, and what we can do to partner with God, grab arms with him, and be a friend of God in these difficult situations. And so, you know, Pete, this is kind of the string we've been on.
Yeah, it really is. And just kind of want to emphasize that, you know, my hope in kind of disclosing some of the stuff is to really see healing brought to those who have been victimized. And also for people who God may call to stand for righteousness and stand for victims, maybe give some insight on some of the mistakes that I've made in navigating these very difficult circumstances. And maybe kind of the biggest, one of the hardest things to comprehend is you're dealing with Christian people and you keep expecting them to do the right thing. And the saddest part is there's, in my opinion, there's a very small window of opportunity to do the right thing. Not that that window was closed. Of course, everybody could always repent and do the right thing. But if that window isn't taken and the right thing isn't done, then kind of the hardship is to continually see the wrong thing done and expecting these people to do the right thing, if that makes any sense. And that's very disheartening. But kind of going back a little bit to the last time we had talked, and kind of mentioned kind of getting that phone call that you don't want to get. And it was one of the pastor's kids, associate pastor's kids, and just kind of mentioned that there was a scandal going on in the church. We had kind of left that church already, but we had been a part of that church for many years. And so let me maybe back up a little bit for this. Is before this whole thing had taken place, I can't remember the dates, but it might have been a year or two before this whole thing had come out into the open, till the scandal broke. The Lord had given me a dream, and in that dream, there was a huge train wreck, and there were bodies all over the place, and everybody was waiting for our pastor to come and speak. After I, you know, it's one of those dreams that you just knew wasn't, that God was speaking through, I guess you could say. So for me, how I took that dream initially is I took that as, well, you know, I'm going to share with the pastor that, you know, God's appointed him as a leader and he wants him to speak and take the authority that God's given him and just not be afraid to speak things from the pulpit and speak his truth. So that was kind of my first initial interpretation, and I had a meeting with him, and we just talked about that and kind of told him that. And that was wrong, because that definitely was not what God was speaking. And it wasn't until later on that I came to understand this dream, that the train wreck was the train wreck that he had created, and everybody was waiting for him to come out and confess his sin and to speak. And, you know, the sad thing is there's a tremendous amount of healing that can come to the victims, and not only to the victims, but to the whole congregation, if you're just willing to stand up and do the right thing. And unfortunately, in this situation, that never came. So basically, I get that telephone call. Then after receiving that telephone call, I had already had another husband from the church come to me with some concerns before that time. And so I just kind of started digging into the matter and seeing, you know, how much, what all was going on, I guess you could say. And then we received another call from an associate pastor's wife there, and basically, you know, she was talking about a situation where her husband was having a role play other women in the bedroom. And so, you know, once that door is open by the leader, it just really creates an open door for that, for the devil to just come in and kind of like a domino effect, just start rolling through the staff. I mean, and that doesn't, you know, deny people's personal responsibility, or might just mean they have poor discernment and they're hiring bad people. And that's why it's so important to look at Paul's letter to Timothy and to hold the leadership standard before putting people in leadership to that standard of leadership that Paul's telling Timothy to adhere to. And I guess the other thing to remember in this is kind of that last verse in James, I think it's James 5:20, where it talks about if you're able to turn somebody away from their sin, you're able to cover over a multitude of sins. Well, the multitude of sins just doesn't include the sins of that person. It's how the leaders respond. And then are they, you know, going into sin by, you know, favoring nepotism or something other than God's word? So, and the hurt that comes from that to the congregation, it just, that domino effect comes. And once you're in leadership, you're really held to the standard of how will you treat and manage sinful situations. And that's something that, you know, leaders will have to stand before the Lord and account to God for. So anyway, on that situation, maybe just one other side note related to that. One thing that I've kind of been asking the Lord about recently is just that kind of that dream, because I had another dream, series of dreams related to the IHOP Kansas City situation that we'll get into. But it's kind of just frustrating in that you've got this dream that you know is from the Lord, and I didn't get the revelation of it until really after the situation was over. And that's where kind of, so I've been asking the Lord a lot about this lately, and kind of had one of those middle of the night moments with a passage that was playing. And it ended up being Luke 5, or Luke 18, Luke 18, 34. And basically, it goes into the, you know, Christ tells the disciples, he explains the gospel. He's going to be, you know, he's going to suffer and rise on the third day. But the following verse of Luke 18, 34 basically says, and these things were hidden from them. So that just really perplexed me, and it was also comforting to me to know and to realize that when God speaks to you and starts sharing some things with you, that ultimately the full revelation is the Lord's timing. So I don't fully understand how all that works, but it's the Lord's timing, as far as you still need to be diligent and seek a matter out. But the full revelation of that is dependent on the Lord releasing that. So anyway, that's just a kind of a tangent side note on that. but in this case, what that led me to was trying to set up a meeting with a board and explain the situations that, you know, the telephone calls we had gotten. And immediately one of the associate pastors contacted me and just started saying really some nasty things that I was kind of shocked on. And then it seemed like he was trying to keep me from meeting.
Just to dig into that a second, I'm curious, Pete. What do you think the goal of his phone call? I mean, I obviously, you know, nasty things to you. In other words, he wanted you to keep your nose out of it, or he said you were lying, or what? What?
It's hard because there's victims involved and people that, you know, still could be hurt by some of these these revelations. But in this case, he was saying nasty things related to the victim, the person that spoke out. And I just couldn't believe what he was saying. And it seemed like he was trying to protect the leader and put the blame.
Right. He was attacking the credibility of the witness. Right.
Exactly. And kind of the hardest thing is this was the head pastor's, you know, somebody who had left a very lucrative job, in the corporate world to come on staff, who was his friend, and his daughter had gone through a very difficult abusive marriage that she had to get out of. It was brutal. And then the associate pastor asked the head pastor to counsel his daughter. And, you know, ever there's a case made for, you know, those who prey on weak-willed women, this kind of, to me, from my perspective, was fully that case. And he took advantage of that counselor relationship. And, and so I'm getting.
So he was actually, he was trying to get you to change sides.
I think so. He claimed that he wasn't, he claimed that he wasn't trying to keep me from speaking to the board. But I'm a pretty black and white guy. And I felt like he was trying to.
Right. He was trying to do that. Right. And so
at the very least, at the worst case, he was trying to keep me from going before the board and speaking.
But you did.
But I did. And the board didn't want me to. So there was one of the board members, and they were trying to keep me from coming before the board, saying, he's not a part of this church anymore. Why should he be allowed to even come in and speak? So there was just a lot of
cover up
strife within the board, even
right.
in allowing me to come and speak to them and address the situation. So I went to the board, and what's even harder in this is that pastor who was associate pastor, who was kind of protecting the head pastor. His wife ended up embezzling, $100,000+ too, which he said he didn't know that was going on because she was part of the accounting staff at the church. So it was just a huge, 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 huge mess. And so they agreed to pay back that amount, which the head pastor held and his wife held them to. I think that they still may be paying back on that still to this day. And this is, 14, 15 years later, if not more. So, and then in the end, that associate pastor did kind of come around and see things, and kind of try to get the head pastor to do the right thing. It's just, but that was after I had left so then I went in and spoke to the board. And they basically didn't want to hear it. The president of the board or the head of that board at that time, in my opinion, he's tainted because he had pornography issues that he was struggling with. So it was kind of, we need to protect God's anointed and that whole thing. And at the end of my conversation with the board over the issues, one board member came to me. And he was just a really kind man. And he said, thank you for coming in and sharing. But ultimately, nothing was done. So then I was in contact with the head of the Assemblies of God in the state of Illinois. And, I contacted Focus on the Family.
Wow.
And Focus on the Family basically said, you need to start putting pressure on the situation, and they said, and don't expect them to do the right thing. So I was receiving some counsel from one of the guys there, and he kind of brought up some of the history at times of the Assemblies of God not doing the right thing and covering up and restoring and all that kind of stuff. And I think he might have brought up Jimmy Swaggart, which becomes significant later on in relation to this whole thing. So then I'm talking to the head of the Assemblies of God in the state of Illinois, and, it sounds like this church was an affiliate church, so it didn't have full membership they didn't have full authority to go in and speak in, and they were looking at things from a legal matter. And from my perspective at that time, it was fully, what does the law matter? Why are you worried? to me, it seemed pharisaical. Why are you worried about, you know, the legal aspects of this situation when, you know, you have a man who's taken advantage of a weak-willed woman? And, you know, I was just totally frustrated with the whole situation. And then that associate pastor who had kind of gotten involved, he was now moving on to another church, and he wasn't disclosing to that church that his wife had embezzled money. So it was just, I was, you know, so, and I brought that situation up to him too. And I'm like, look, this pastor is going on to another congregation. And chances are, if a pastor left a congregation, either something happened that this congregation is going through a time of confusion and pain themselves, and now you're going to send somebody in who's coming out of a situation of, you know, just in
right. I hate we're out of time right here because, like, oh my goodness. But the good news is God is not done. He will make all things new, and he will be involved. So, you know, stay tuned. We appreciate you, Pete. And again, what God was teaching you and some insights from Pete's standpoint coming up in the next episode. Thanks, Pete.
Thank you, Robbie.
God bless.
God bless.